I believe that that fellowship with God is the atmosphere of revival. I believe it's the realm of revival, fellowship with God. I don't believe revival is going to be experienced by people that are out of fellowship with God. Of course, we know revival is a believer issue. Revival is not needed for sinners directly. Revival is for the believers. But now sinners are affected by revival indirectly. Because as we get revived, then God moves through our life and deals with them. And I believe we'll see sinners saved if God's people are stirred up. Ask yourself, what is it that I want out of this revival? What do I want God to do before Wednesday ever gets here? What do I need today? Where am I at today? You know, before God ever started dealing with Adam, He asked him a question. Where art thou? In other words, the first thing God has to get cleared up, or you to get cleared up, is look where you're at. Amen. God wasn't asking that question because He didn't know where Adam was. He was wanting Adam to look at himself and see where Adam was. Where are you this morning? Where are you in relation to where you used to be spiritually? Where are we? God help us. Amen. 1 John chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word, capital W, that would be a title, the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, and I just described most of the people today in churches, they'll tell you they're saved, they'll tell you they're right or whatever, but their walk testifies against them. I want to ask myself and you this morning, does our walk testify against us? Does our walk contradict our words? Are we walking the walk and talking the talk? Amen. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we, notice the emphasis of we throughout these verses, we, John, the writer, the beloved, that was probably the closest to Jesus of any of all, that laid his head on his bosoms, asked to put himself in there by saying we. He wasn't saying you, he was saying we. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, and He is faithful, verse 9, and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's pray. Father, I come once again in the name of Jesus. Lord, we once again plead the blood of Jesus, claim the blood of Jesus. Lord, for You helping us today. Lord, we ask God there'd be nothing in our heart, nothing in our mind that would grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray You'd help us to take sides with You against our own selves. Lord, if You say it's wrong, help us to side with You on the matter. Help us, Lord, this morning to hear Your word and hear Your voice. Lord, if all we hear this morning is My voice, if all we hear this morning is an outline or a title or some points, Lord, if all we hear this morning is some religious statements, even some scriptural statements, dear Lord, and we do not hear the voice of the Spirit of God and the voice of our Shepherd, Lord, then we will leave this service, Father, unmoved and untouched and unchanged. We need You, dear Lord, to move in the service. Lord, the last thing we need this morning is a rut and a routine. Lord, the last thing we need this morning is formalism. Lord, You said there'll be a people in the last days that will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. But then You went on to say, from such, turn away. Lord, we should desire to be intimate with You. Lord, please help us to draw nigh to You, that You would draw nigh to us. Help us, Lord. We need You this morning. Speak to us and through us, and we'll give You the glory. But we ask it in Jesus' name, and for our sakes we pray. Amen. Well, I'm dealing with the subject this morning of fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. And I've already made the statement that fellowship is the realm of revival. If we have revival, it'll be when God's people get interested in fellowship with God. See, you can know God intellectually without having fellowship with God. You can have a relationship with God as a son or daughter of God and not have fellowship with God. Amen. Amen. If I were to ask in the service this morning how many are not saved, then there would probably be no doubt some hands raised. And we want to welcome you this morning. Glad you're here and you're an honored guest, and we trust God to speak to you today. But in the service, if I were to ask how many are saved, there would be numerous hands, if not the majority, would raise their hand saying, "Preacher, I'm saved." In doing so, you would be testifying, "I have a relationship with God. I have been birthed into the family of God." And by the way, that is still the only way to get into God's family. You can't learn your way in. You can't labor your way in. You can't look your way in. You've got to be birthed in. Amen. You've got to be born again. And that's as plain as I can put it. But if I were to ask this morning how many in the building have fellowship with God, I wonder how many hands would be either wouldn't go up, or would be hesitantly going up, or would be hypocritically going up. I wonder how many in truth this morning, as far as you could know and say, as far as I know, preach, I'm in fellowship with God. I wonder how scarce the hands would be. That's not a testimony, my friend, of perfection. When you say I'm in fellowship with God, that's not saying there's nothing wrong in my life. That's not saying I'm sinless. That is testifying that I'm trying to please God. I'm trying to walk with God. If there's things in my heart, life, mind, spirit that is not pleasing, He puts His finger on it, then I will deal with that. Amen? Amen. And what I believe a statement that would describe what fellowship with God means would be to walk with God. Enoch, the Bible said, walked with God. Probably one of the most classic examples in our Bible of what it means to be in fellowship with God. Amos 3 and verse 3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't have fellowship with God if you don't agree with God. Not if God agrees with you. See, if God agrees with me, then God's going to have to change. But if I agree with God, then I have to change. And I find that God changes not. Malachi 3:6, I am God and I change not. God will never change His mind. God will never change His Word. He'll never change it. He's not going to change. Amen. Somebody told Billy Sunday one day, I believe it was Billy Sunday, said, you rubbing the cat the wrong way by your preaching. He said, well, bless God, turn the cat around. In other words, we're not going to change the way we stroke the cat. Turn the cat around. Amen. God's not going to change. God's not going to lower the standard to have fellowship with us. God, look what God went to, the expense and the extent God went through to have fellowship with us. Jesus had to bleed and die so that we could be saved, brought into His family and into His fellowship. Look at what God went through so that we could have fellowship with God and God have fellowship with us. God is not going to lower the standards. Are you listening? God is not going to do that. Anyway, fellowship in these verses we read, the word appears four times in these verses. And all four times it is referring to a vertical fellowship. It is referring to a fellowship in this direction. Amen? Not horizontal to mankind, though that's all talked about in the Bible. Amen? But it's talking about in our context of the Scripture, my friend, of a vertical fellowship with God. It is paramount. It's preeminent. There's nothing that takes the place of it. Nothing. Can I say this morning, there is nothing in your life as a believer more important than your fellowship with God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. A lot of things that the devil don't mind you to have in your life. As long as you don't have fellowship with God. The devil don't care if you belong to RBT. He don't care. He doesn't care if you carry a King James Bible. He doesn't care if you dress right even. He don't care if you look right. He don't care if you listen to the right kind of music. As long as you are not in fellowship with God. Because fellowship with God is the devil's number one threat. Amen. Amen. You and I, my friend, are no threat, none whatsoever, if we are not in fellowship with God. We will never, listen, you say, preacher, what's the enemy of darkness? Light. There's nothing can do damage to darkness but light. Nothing can overcome darkness but light. Nothing can dispel darkness but light. And you and I are said in the Bible to be the light of the world. Amen? The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 5, or chapter 5, it tells us that we're to walk as children of light. Amen? As we are in fellowship with, well, look in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Amen? See, fellowshipping with God brings in a likeness to God. Amen. Doesn't make us God, but it brings in a likeness of God as He is. If we walk in the light of God's Word, in the light of Jesus' example, my friend, and the Bible said, as if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's talking about God and you. You having fellowship one with another. But as we are in the light, as He is in the light, and we have fellowship with Him, guess what we do? Then we reflect the light. We're not the source of light. We're only a reflector of the light. Somebody goes out at night and they say, well, look at the moon. It's shining bright tonight. No, it's not shining bright. It's reflecting bright. The moon is like the church. It has no light of its own. Amen. And the moon is a lot like the church, and it doesn't have any light of its own, but also it's out of reach of man. You can fuss at the moon and call it names and whatever else, and it'll just keep doing what it's created to do to reflect the sun. When the sun is out of sight and cannot be seen, you know the sun's still shining because the moon is reflecting. Jesus, the S-O-N, which is the light of the world, is out of sight and has been for 2,000 plus years. He's not here. He's gone. Amen. His bodily presence is gone from planet Earth. Amen. When He ascended back to heaven. Now, I want to tell you, you and I can be like the moon in that we reflect the light and people can see us and know that He's alive by the way we live. Amen. I believe that the devil knows that your fellowship with God is the threat that he fears. He don't fear you being a church member. He don't fear you carrying a King James Bible. He don't care if you even go to RVT or hold a position or sing in a choir or teach Sunday school, as long as you're out of fellowship with God. Amen. God help us all. Everybody that has ever been anybody for the Lord has been a people of fellowship. There's Bible characters in our Bible that my friend has made great impact on literally nations. But they were people that were people in fellowship with God. See, you'll never be much for God until you're much with God. Amen. No, Moses absolutely influenced a whole nation and still influences our lives today. But what was a key element about Moses? The Bible said he also, as well as Enoch, walked with God. Amen. Moses, listen, your fellowship with God is your influence. Are you listening? Your fellowship with God is what influences sinners. Your fellowship with God is what influences the atmosphere of the church. Well, there's a lot that we could say, but I want to say that again. Everybody that was ever anybody have been people that made much of fellowshipping with Jesus. Amen? Let me give you this definition, because you weren't here last week. Fellowship, there's three specific definitions for fellowship in these verses. And the first word is the word association. Association. I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to go back and give you a point for each one of them. Association. Now, the second definition to describe fellowship is a common participation. Okay? Association and a common or joint participation. And then the third definition is the word partnership. Partnership. So I went back and I just got to looking at them three definitions. And that word association, fellowship speaks in light of that, of our identification. When you associate yourself with someone or something, you are identifying yourself with that person or thing or place. That's right. Amen. That's why God tells us we're not to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, because there is an association. There is an identification with that. Amen. Whether you like it or not, friend, people's going to identify you with the places you go. People's going to identify you with the people you run with. People's going to identify you, as Brother Silas talked about this morning. I give a good hearty amen to everything he said, though it was very quiet in this place. Amen to the music you listen to. And so on and so forth. The list could go on. Amen. And I thought, let me just put a little insertion here. I thought while Brother Silas was giving us that this morning, opening Sunday school, if there was any church in this county, ought not have been quiet. It should have been RVT. Amen. You know what that means? That means that we've had a whole lot more preaching than we're practicing. Amen. That's exactly what that means. That's right. But anyway, we'll save that for another time. But the word association, I use the word identification, the identification of fellowship. The second definition, what you remember, was a common participation. Now think about it. If you participate, here's my word, I use the word involvement. If you are participating in something, you are involved in it. Is that right? Amen. When you have fellowship with God, it's not just your association, your identification. It is your participation, your involvement. Amen. Fellowship is not something you read about, hear about, talk about. Fellowship is something that you are involved in. Amen. Boy, I like that. Everybody can't preach. Everybody can't sing. Everybody can't teach. But every child of God can participate and be involved in fellowship with God. Amen. So there's the word identification. There's the word involvement. But then there's that third definition, partnership. I use the word to describe that, inclusion. If you're in a partnership with somebody, that means you're included. The last time I would think with common sense about what a partnership is, it means two sides joining together. There is an inclusion. When you have fellowship with God, there's a partnership. There is a divine side and there is a human side of fellowship. Let me deal with that right quick. Lord, give that to me last night, I believe it was. Fellowship with God requires a divine side and a human side. Amen? Got to have partnership. I told you last week on Sunday night, God can't have fellowship with angels. No partnership. The angels didn't bear His image. He didn't create angels in His image. Amen? They can praise Him. They can worship Him. They can fly around the throne and say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." They can serve Him. They can carry out His bidding. But He can't have fellowship with them because there's no partnership there. There's no inclusion. God can only have fellowship with man because man, out of all of God's creation, was created in His image. Amen. And I want to tell you what I believe that image is. Spirit. I believe that's what the image is. That spirit. We are a spirit. God is a spirit. John 4:24. God is a spirit. Alright? God is a spirit. Well, guess what man has within him? Men and women, God created you with a spirit in you. A human spirit. And before the fall, God, being a spirit, could fellowship with Adam and Eve because they also had a spiritual life. They were alive spiritually. But when sin came in the picture, and sin and death always goes buddy-buddy through the Scripture, where you find one, you find the other. Amen? In fact, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Told Adam, the day you eat thereof, you'll die. Amen? So listen, he had fellowship with Adam before the fall because their spirit was alive. Man's spirit could bear witness with God's spirit and vice versa because there was a partnership there. There was an inclusion there. There was a human side and a divine side. Are you listening to me? Well, when Adam failed, guess what happened, Brother Frankie? When they failed, that image was marred. That spirit died. That part of man that had him hooked up with God died, and therefore it was a one-sided situation. And God couldn't have fellowship with man because there was no response of the human side. There's got to be two sides. If you've got a partnership, you've got to have two sides. Amen. So as long as man is lost, as long as men and women, boys and girls are lost, they cannot have fellowship with God because their spirit is dead in them. Amen. Well, when you get saved, guess what happens to that spirit? Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened. That means to be made alive. Well, what did He make alive? You were alive physically, but you were dead spiritually. And you hath He quickened who were dead, here it is, in trespasses and in sin. Amen. So, listen, when you get saved, that human spirit is resurrected, that human spirit is quickened, that human spirit is made alive, and guess what happens again? God's spirit is in partnership with your spirit, He's alive, you're alive, and therefore there's partnership, there's fellowship. Well, we could go on, we could say a lot more about that. Hey man, I thought about that. You know, listen, let me say this right here. God gave it to me, so I might as well say it. Amen. Fellowship is a spiritual thing. Period. It's not a material thing. You don't have to have a whole lot of nothing. Amen. To fellowship with God. It's not a material thing. Fellowship is not a physical thing. It doesn't matter if you're sick or well. It doesn't matter, amen, what race. Listen, it's not a physical thing. It's not a racial thing. It's not a financial thing. You can be broke as Job's turkey, amen, if there was such a creature. And I want to tell you, and have fellowship with God. Because fellowship, yes, it's not physical, it's not material, it's not financial, it is not social. I want to tell you, it is spiritual, amen. If you're right with God spiritually, been born again first, and that Spirit made alive in you, and you're right with God, you can have fellowship with God. Now watch this. The Bible says, God is a spirit. Capital S, John 4:24. God is a spirit. So you know what that tells me? Any dealings I have with God has got to be in the spiritual realm. Whoa! God, the Lord God made this big to my heart. I studied on this last night. Listen, God is a spirit. Therefore, there cannot be any contact with God. There cannot be any fellowship with God unless it's in the spiritual realm. Amen. This Bible's all for morality, but you'll never fellowship with God on the basis of morality. A lot of people have mistaken morality for spirituality. Amen. You can write a list from here to the back door of all that you don't do and still be backslid as a goat. Amen. Because fellowship with God is a spiritual thing. Amen. Listen. Not only God being a spirit. And this is big. I hope we can get it. I don't know if we're getting it or not. But God is a spirit. Therefore, He can't operate in any realm outside of the spirit. Anything God does for me has got to pass through the Spirit. Wouldn't you agree with that? Anything God does for me must come through the Spirit of God. Why? Because God is Spirit. And if I'm going to get anything from God, it's got to come through the spiritual realm. Amen. If I'm going to worship God, I've got to be in the Spirit. Amen. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, little s, and in truth. God is saying, if you're going to worship me, you've got to get into my realm. If you're going to worship me, you've got to get into my dimension. If you're going to worship me, you've got to get into my world. Amen. Amen. What I've just preached in the last 5 minutes is the problem of every church I know. We come to church and we think worshiping God, my friend, is some formal service. Worshiping God is when somebody gets right with God. Your spirit, first of all, has been born again. It's been regenerated, has been quickened, made alive. And therefore, you are hooked up with God. The Bible says that His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. Amen. Now watch this right here. This is going to get good right here. I wasn't aiming just to do nothing but mention this, but it's getting big. Are you listening? God is a spirit, and thus fellowship can only happen in the spiritual realm. Listen, man must have God's spirit, and God must have man's spirit. See, I'm reversing it now from what I've been preaching the last 5 minutes. Or adding another facet to it. Man's got to have God's spirit, and God's got to have man's spirit before there can be fellowship. Oh, brother, the Lord showed me this. I about had a good spell. Amen. Now, the word definition, the word means partnership, association. Amen. A joint partnership. So there's got to be two sides. Listen, God can't fellowship with us unless we have His Spirit. We can't fellowship with Him unless He has our Spirit. And guess what happened 2,000 years ago? Guess what happened 2,000 plus years ago when God, my friend, in a desire to redeem man and, my friend, be able to reach man and have fellowship with man, God became man. And what happened in that incarnation was that God, my friend, stepped into our world so that we could step into His world. God come to our world so we could go to His world. Amen. God came down here so that Jesus could become a man and have our spirit. And don't you ever disagree with that. Jesus is 100% man. And yet at the same time, 100% God. You can't explain that, but you can believe it because the Bible teaches it. Amen? So there's fellowship between God and man, those that are saved. Well, can I give you these? I'll give you some of these last Sunday night. I want to give you a few more, and we'll try to get into this if the Lord will help us. Amen? These are the words, all these begin with S, and I want you to write them down, and I want you to meditate on them. Your fellowship, and some of these I mentioned Sunday night, and you need to hear them again. Amen.
Amen.
Your fellowship with God is your spirituality. That's just an overall general statement. Your spirituality, my friend, comes out of your fellowship with God. So write that down. Fellowship is our spirituality. If we're not in fellowship with God, we're not spiritual. Hello. Everybody hear that? Well, praise the Lord. Five people responded to that. Amen. Fellowship is our spirituality. Could I mention a second truth? You writing them down? Fellowship is our stability. Have you ever wondered why so many people are wishy-washy, in and out and on and off, and fired up one Sunday and backslid as a goat the next, faithful to church, part-time, and then next thing you know, they're missing Sunday school and Wednesday night and getting skimpy on Sunday morning and all that. Have you ever wondered why that is? I tell you, I don't even have to do much evaluating. I don't even have to have a real high-powered microscope or a magnifying lens to look at your life. I just need to ask you one question. Are you in fellowship with God? If you're in fellowship with God, there will be the element of stability and steadfastness in your life. None of us, including me, I want to tell you, none of us can, my friend, withstand the fiery darts of the devil. None of us can handle temptation. None of us can handle trials. My friend, it's fellowship with God that produces stability and steadfastness. Amen. Because here's a good thing. When you're in fellowship with God, and that is a joint partnership, that is a participation, that is an association. Watch this. You know why I can be stable, Brother Matt, and steadfast if I'm in fellowship with God? Because I'm drawing strength off my partner. Amen. I'm drawing strength off my partner. Amen. How can two walk together except they be agreed? If I'm in fellowship with God and I'm walking with God, amen, yes, there'll be many days I'll be weak, but there'll never be a day He's weak. There'll be times, my friend, that I'll be frail, but there'll never be a day He's frail. I want to tell you, and I can be stable because my buddy's stable, my partner's stable. Amen. You know, if it was left up to me to carry him, we'd both be in the ditch, I want to tell you. But he knew how frail, he knew how fickle that I was and am and will be. He knew it when he got into partnership with me. Amen. Amen. There wouldn't be nobody, Brother Frank, you'd get into a business deal with a partner like we are with God. None of you, amen, would sign a contract to get in a partnership with somebody that you knew was going to be a sorry, no-count partner. None of us would ever do that. Because you know why? It wouldn't be good sense, for one. Another would be, I wouldn't get in a partnership with somebody like that because they would pull me down. They would drain me. But see, God is not me. God got into a partnership with us, amen, through the new birth by, my friend, Him having our spirit. We have His spirit. He can relate to us. We can relate to Him through the spirit that's within us. Amen. But He knew when He got in partnership with us that, my friend, we couldn't pull Him down, that we couldn't drain Him, that He would remain steadfast, that He would remain true. Hallelujah to God. Oh, look at the thousands of people that's been saved. At millions of people that's been saved. And guess what? The Bible still says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, I wasn't aiming to preach that, but it felt good. Amen? Your fellowship is your spirituality. Fellowship is your stability. Fellowship is your strength. That goes along with what we'd already said. Amen? Fellowship with God is your strength. There's a link between worldliness and wickedness and weakness. Amen. You get out of fellowship with God, you get weak, you get vulnerable. Let me mention the next one. Fellowship with God is your survival. Say, preacher, it's dark out there. It's wicked out there. Oh, yes. None of us would exaggerate that. I mean, we could try to explain it and make it look as bad as we could. I want to tell you, this world, and particularly our country, my friend, is far worse than anything we could ever describe. If we knew even a portion of what's really going on behind the scenes in our government, we'd all probably crawl in a hole. Amen. My confidence is in God, not government. I have no confidence in them. I'm to pray for them. I have no confidence in them. I heard on one of the religious television programs the other day, my friend, they was interviewing a politician. I don't remember if he was a senator or a congressman. He is a politician. And you know what that man had the audacity to say on television? It went around this world. Said, I have never been more optimistic about our country than right now. I thought, my soul! Now, he must be reading some news that we're not getting. Amen? He must be seeing something we're not getting. No, I'll tell you what that is. That's what he is. He's a politician. Amen? I don't believe none of them hardly could read the truth out of the Bible. There may be a few exceptions. Amen. And I no doubt there are. Amen. I heard one the other day. I don't know if he's a congressman or senator or whatever. But my friend, he was letting them have it. And had his Bible open on a podium there in that official building. And brother, he was reading the Bible to them. So I'm letting them have it. I mean, up one side and down the other is from Texas. I think we need to move him up here. I mean, son, he was letting them have it. I mean, just reading it right out. Had his Bible in his, up on the podium, and he's saying chapter and verse and book, and this is what the Bible said, and this is what God said. I said, preach, politician, preach. Amen. But for the most part, that's an exception. Most of them, my friend, are just to go along to get along and say whatever man wants. Amen. You can do that and get voted in as president in our country. Well, better get off that. Some of you get sold up. It's our survival. Let me give you this. Are y'all listening? Amen. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to hurry. Not hard, but I'm trying. Fellowship is our satisfaction. It don't matter, my friend. Listen, your fellowship with God is your satisfaction. How many's ever heard of the prodigal son? Luke 15. Yes, listen. He had everything, Brother Frankie, needed there at the farm, at the house. He was in fellowship, Brother Stallard, with the Father. But then for whatever reason, one day he decides, I want what the portion that's coming to me, and he took a journey into a far country. Guess who didn't go with him? The Father. If you fellowship with the Father, you'll be at the Father's house. You'll be at the Father's territory. You'll be at the Father's property. God's not going to walk with you, my friend, in paths of darkness and sin and amen. And lack of fellowship with God and fellowshiping with sin have to just be around you. He's just not going to do that. The Father didn't go. And guess what happened to that son? He had prosperity. He had the inheritance in his pocket. But guess what it didn't do? Young people, are y'all listening? Guess what it didn't do? It didn't satisfy him. His pockets were bulging with his inheritance. Had plenty. But my friend, that didn't satisfy him. You know why? Satisfaction don't come through prosperity. It's not how much money you got. It's are you in fellowship with God? Amen. You remember a while ago I pointed out that fellowship is not financial. Oh, preacher, if I just had more of this and bigger of that, I'd be in fellowship with God. Not likely. Not likely. If you're not faithful in the little, you'll not be faithful in the lot. Amen. The big. Amen. I've heard people say, preacher, I don't tithe because I don't make enough. I'd rather pay a dollar out of a hundred as to pay a hundred out of a thousand and a thousand out of 10,000. For a hundred thousand. 10,000 out of 100,000. Amen. Amen. In other words, if you're not faithful in the little, you won't be faithful in the lot. Amen. 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 I'll say my own amens on that. But fellowship is your satisfaction. The prodigal wasn't satisfied, though he had prosperity. Listen, he thought if I could just go to this place or that place, I'd be satisfied. He probably laid awake dreaming about that far country. Oh, if I could just get down there where the wine, women, and song is. If I could just get down there at the wild side of life. If I could just get away from daddy and mama's thumb. If I could get away from that authority. If I could get away from somebody telling me what to do. Amen. I just described our generation. Amen. It's coming up. Amen. Well, guess what? Pockets full of bulging out with his inheritance. My friend had plenty. And then he went to the place that his heart aspired to go, thinking that's where I need to be happy. He got down there, wallowed all in it, my friend. And guess what? Didn't satisfy him. Because satisfaction will not come through prosperity. Satisfaction will not come through places. And guess what else? Satisfaction didn't come through pleasure. He lived it up. That passage said he wasted his substance with riotous living. Not righteous living, but riotous living. Wicked, sinful, partying life. He wasted it. And I preached that for 28 years. Are you listening? That sin is a wasted life. My friend, there's nobody that's got good sense that goes in the life of sin and lives the life of sin. It's a wasted life. You'll have nothing to show for it. Nothing to show for it. You say, but preacher, I know people that's living in sin and they're millionaires. Yeah, but see what they are when they draw that last breath. Right. See what happens to those millions when they draw their last breath. And then see, ultimately, the worst part of it is, see where they're at 5 seconds after they've drawn their last breath. Right. Amen? Well, it's your satisfaction. Can we not relate to that? Let me get out of the preaching gear and just get practical here. Can we not relate to that? Individually, can we not line up with that? That our satisfaction is in our fellowship? How many has been in fellowship with God? How many has been out of fellowship with God? I just keep my hand up because I knew the question. Is there any difference? Is there any satisfaction difference? Is there any joy difference? Is there any fulfillment difference? Being in or out of fellowship with God. Amen. It's not who likes you. It's not what's going on in your life. It's not the extras. It's not the circumstances. It's one thing. Are you in fellowship with God? If you're in fellowship with God, guess what, young people, moms and dads, all ages in here, guess what? If you're in fellowship with God, there will be joy and satisfaction and fulfillment and contentment in your life. But if you're out of fellowship with God, as we all can testify, misery comes in. Church ain't even fun when you're out of fellowship with God. Are you listening? I mean, brother, listen. Going to church, listen, what puts life and interest in this church is not just our teachers and our choir and this, that, and the other, or not even the preaching. The joy going to RBT is getting a fellowship with God, amen, and hooking up with the songs and hooking up with the Sunday school lesson and hooking up with the preaching. Being in fellowship with God, amen. You say, preacher, church is boring to me. I want to ask you two questions. One, are you saved? We want lost people to come. Brother Craig, we want lost people to be interested in what we're saying and preaching and doing around here. We want that, but we don't want lost people to come in here and enjoy it. It's a shame on RBT when a lost person walks out the door and says to me, "Preacher, we enjoyed the service." That's the same as a testifying that your church is backslid. Because the first chapter of Psalms says that sinners cannot stand in the congregation of the righteous. There ought to be so much light in here that darkness, my friend, would be very uncomfortable. There should be so much righteousness, not self-righteousness, but righteousness in here that, my friend, unrighteousness would be uncomfortable. Sin, people come in here, whether it be in your life or mine, sin comes inside these doors. There ought to be so much godless place it puts us under conviction. Amen. God help us. I feel like I'm preaching revival already. It's our satisfaction. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, help us. I wonder how many people in this building today is miserable. I mean, I didn't ask you to save or lost this to you. I'm talking about miserable. Just miserable. Are you in fellowship with God? Have you ever wondered why so many people flops in and flops out of RBT? That grieves me to no end. I'll just tell you right now, it bothers me. I can't hardly stand it. See people get saved, so they get saved, and look like they got saved, and got all seemingly the fruit of getting saved. Next thing you know, you couldn't find them with the high sheriff and a C&I dog. You couldn't find them with the best bloodhound in the country. Something's wrong with that. I'm just telling you. You said, "Preacher, they get saved." I don't know. I'm not the authority on that. I just know that's not what I got. Brother, when I got saved, and I'm talking about, brother, I left home over going to church. So you don't even talk to me about you can be saved and flip-flop in and out of church all your life. You're talking to the wrong person. You're talking to the wrong person on that. Amen? How can you love the head, which is Christ, without loving the body? Christ is the head of the church. Is that not good preaching, Brother James? If Christ is the head of the church and you love the head, how can you not love the body? You can't separate. You cut the head off, you kill the head and the body. Amen. Amen. If you don't love the church, you don't love the head. That's right. Your relationship to the house of God, amen, is your relationship to God. Amen. And of course, it's a lot deeper than that, a lot bigger than that, but I just made that statement. Let me go ahead and deal with this, and I don't know if you can handle it or not, but I'm going to deal with it anyway. Fellowship with God, if you're writing them down, say amen. Spirituality, stability, strength, survival, satisfaction, and separation. Your fellowship with God is what separates you. See, we've got it backwards. We think, don't dry up on me. I can understand if I was preaching in some of the churches around here if they dried up and I mentioned the word separation. But not RBT. Not after I've been here 17 years, for crying out loud. Surely somebody believes separation around here. Amen. But whether you do or not, I do, and I'm going to preach it. Amen. That's the truth. But let me say this, your separation is not what you do for God. Are you listening? Separation is what God does in you. You walk with God and see how many of the wicked crowd will want to hold your hand. Huh? Birds of a feather flock together. One of the definitions of fellowship is association. Walk with God and see how many of your buddies will fall in line. Oh, they'll treat you like you've got the plague. They'll treat you like you've got some kind of highly contagious, fatal disease. They won't want nothing to do with you. You think they're your friends? Let me give you a good test. Walk with God and see if they walk with you. The Bible said a friend sticketh closer than a brother. A friend loveth at all times. If you've got a real friend, they'll walk with you when God's walking with you. If they're real. But let me just tell you what will happen. I know what will happen. That outfit that's interested in darkness, that outfit that's interested in sin and pleasing the flesh, my friend, and all that wickedness, they're not interested in righteousness, and you choose to walk with God, I'm going to tell you, they'll not walk with you. Brother Silas, they're some of the very ones, my friend, that I thought that I was like this with in high school. When I got saved at the age of 20, my friend, they've done away with me. I didn't have to go to them and say, "Now look, Brother Clapper, I'm not going to be coming to your dances no more." I did use that word accurately. I didn't have to come to them and say, hey, dude, that was one of them. I didn't have to come to them and say, "Hey, dude, I'm not going to be up at the S-curve no more." That was a gathering place on some scrappy road where we went and did things not pleasing. I didn't have to go to none of them, Miss Susan, and say, "Look, I ain't coming to you, I ain't drinking no more. Don't include me in none of your keg parties no more. Don't include me in none of that." I didn't have to go, Miss Shannon. I didn't have to go to them, Brother Carroll. Not one of them, and tell them, "Count me out. Don't even deal my cards no more. I'm not in that crowd no more." Didn't have to go to them. All I did was just, I had me a new partner. I had me a new friend. And guess what? All of that crowd that I thought was close to me, Brother James, they discarded me. You say, "But preacher, I don't want to lose my friends." Well, do you want to lose your soul? Are you listening? We'll go eat in a minute. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm preaching right now. Are you listening? There's a lot of young people, my friend, going to miss heaven over friends. Amen. Peer pressure is a real deal, buddy. Peer pressure. Pleasing peers. Wanting to fit in and have the acceptance of the peers. Have the, my friend, the approval and the applause and the pat on the back of my buddies. Oh, yeah. Don't tell me that ain't a powerful thing. I'm ashamed of a lot of things I did growing up. All, listen, all because I wanted to please my peers. I did some stupid stuff. I mean, stupid stuff. All because I wanted some of my friends to be able to talk about when they had their conversations, my name would come up. Yeah. But what good is that? Where are they at now? Huh? But when God saved me January 20th, 1981, it was a friend's choice. Amen. Amen. I got saved by the grace of God, and I got a real friend in my life that's there 24/7. He don't walk off and leave me. My friend, he don't leave me to myself. Amen. Are you listening? Can I introduce him to you? His name is Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, friend, He is my satisfaction. He is my separation. Amen. Listen, a lot of people, listen, hey, come on now. We'll be through, amen, in a minute sometime after a while. My separation, friend, listen, I should not want to do anything that would be offensive to my partner. Are you listening? Jesus is my partner. If I'm in fellowship with God, I'm in joint partnership with Him. I'm in association with Him. I am in a, what was that third word? Partnership with Him. Participation with Him. Amen. Oh, if walking with Jesus culls some things out of your life, then you ought to say, "So be it."
Right. Amen.
Amen. Hey, I tell you what you ought to do. You know what friends are? Friends are people that, you know, the birds of a feather flock together. Friends, you know, I can tell who you are by your friends. Amen. I can show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You're becoming what your friends are. Amen. You can't be right and run with the wrong. Amen. You can't go. Listen, you'll not turn out to be somebody if you run with a bunch of deadbeats. Your friends is your future. Amen. If you can't pick a friend, you can't pick a mate. Are you listening? Are you listening to this preacher trying to preach this morning? I'm talking about separation, buddy. Fellowship with God is my separation. Listen to this. Here, let me give you these verses. And I didn't get where I thought I was going to get. Three times we're told a verse about negative fellowship. 1 Corinthians 10:20, the Bible says that we're not to have fellowship with devils. Writing that to the church of Corinth, we're not to have fellowship with devils. 1 Corinthians 10:20. 2 Corinthians 6:14 tells us that the believers are not to have fellowship with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14. And then Ephesians 5:11, we're told that we are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5:11. Amen? That's right. Not only is there a negative side of fellowship, things that we're not to have fellowship with, people that we're not to have fellowship with. And by the way, can I say this? Places you go, how you live, music you listen to, movies you watch, whatever you want to throw on that list, all of that goes under this heading. I'm trying to please somebody. I'm trying to impress somebody. I'm wanting somebody to like me. Oh yes, dear friend. Fads and fashions is of this world, buddy. It's not of God. Women that would not wear particular hairstyles or wear particular some kinds of various types of clothing, when it's out, you couldn't hold a gun to their head to get them to fix their hair that way. But just as soon as it comes from the West Coast over here, my friend, all of a sudden it's in, and you do it. What, 2 or 3 weeks ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, you wouldn't dare do it because, my goodness. I guarantee it, friend. I guarantee it. If it come from the West Coast at a fad, my friend, to wear toe sack garments. Amen. That's right. I guarantee you, they'd be paying $50 a piece for them. It didn't matter if it made you look like something from Iraq or not. It didn't matter. If it's in, I'm impressing somebody. Somebody likes me. I may be meddling, but that's all right. I'm sick of it. Amen? That's right. I was in a restaurant eating by my little old self the other day, just minding my own business. And this family come in, and this little old boy, moppy-headed boy, come in. And he couldn't even take his tray and drink in two hands. He had to carry all of it in one hand and hold his britches up with his other hand. Now you tell me that's good sense. Brother Jeremy, there ain't no good sense about that. Had to spread his legs about this far to keep his britches from falling plumb to the floor. That dress standard did not come from the Bible. That did not come from the church. That come from Hollywood. That come from the world. And I'm against it. Always have been and always will be.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's right. And you can tell, listen, I know some of you ain't coming back tonight. Some of them, even if they knew where those dress standards come from, they'd do it anyway. Amen. I don't care to tell you, friend, that wearing your britches plumb down to your knees, my friend, come from the prison cells of California, from the sodomites. Brother James, you saw a documentary on it. That wasn't just my opinion. That's right. And to wear your clothes that way was an advertisement of availability without getting any more discreet. I thought about this the other day. Why in the world does anybody wear clothes five sizes too small? It is not a comfort issue. I'm still preaching. If y'all want me to get on clothes, I can do it. And not get out of the Bible. That is not a comfort issue. That is a statement. That is a statement. That's an identification That is someone trying to reveal their figure through their clothes. Amen. I'm against it. Amen. Y'all may not be, but I am. I've always been, and I'm still against it. There ain't nothing spiritual about it. Nothing spiritual about it. Well, I didn't think he could handle that. Our fellowship with God is our separation. Listen to this. There are, listen, y'all didn't get all crossed up over that, did you? I mean, why would you? I've been preaching it here in this pulpit for 17 years. Very few practice it, but I've still been preaching it. There's a positive side of fellowship. I'm going to give you this, and we'll go eat. You still got an appetite now, don't you? Amen. God help us. We ought to be quiet over a lot of things, but that ought not to be one of them. There are verses, not only that deal with negative side of fellowship, but there's verses that deal with the positive side of fellowship. That is, Acts 4:42, you can read it when you get home, we're to have fellowship with the saints. God's people are to have fellowship with God's people. That's why we go to church. Amen. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Read Philippians 1, verse 3 through 5 also to go with that. Paul, as he remembered and rejoiced in the fellowship that he had with the Philippian believers. Number two, we're to have fellowship with the Son. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you have fellowship with Jesus? Amen. So we have fellowship with the saints, we're to have fellowship with the Son, we're to have fellowship with the Spirit. Amen? Philippians 2:1. The Bible says, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit. You hear that? Fellowship of the Spirit. We're to have fellowship with the Spirit. If you're walking in a path that grieves the Spirit and quenches the Spirit, guess what? You're probably not in fellowship with God. And then we're to have fellowship with the servants of God. Philippians 1:5, Paul talked about the church at Philippi having fellowship with him as a preacher. Amen. Well then write these down. I'm not preaching them, I'm just giving them to you so you'll have all the rest of them. Not only spirituality, stability, strength, survival, steadfastness, separation, but also fellowship is your shout and song. Verse 4, of these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. The context is fellowship. Your joy and your song and your shout comes out of your fellowship with Jesus. Fellowship is your side. You're a comrade with whoever you fellowship with. It's a side statement. Your fellowship is a side statement. Here's the last one. Fellowship is your steps. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Fellowship or your steps is your path of direction. You're going in the direction of your fellowship with whoever, whatever it is. If it's God or the world or whatever. Amen? What you're seeking to have fellowship with or whom you're seeking to have fellowship with is the direction you're going in. Amen. I want you to stand with me, please.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.